it's Kaylee. I wanted to let you know that this episode is going to be formatted a little differently than our usual episodes because we got to meet up with the amazing host of the Creating Ripples podcast, Alexandra Zahner, who interviewed Katie and I on our relationship with alcohol and our experiences since going alcohol-free. If you aren't already listening to Creating Ripples, go give her a follow, and we hope you enjoy our episode.
Hello and welcome to the Creating Ripples podcast. I'm your host, Alexandra Zahner. Thanks for joining me for today's episode. Today, I'm not sitting down with just one, but two guests, Katie and Kaylee from the Dry Hard Pod, where I find a lot of people these days, which is via social media. And I'm very excited to have them both on the podcast today to have like just a very open and honest conversation about sobriety, life, and what their journey into living an alcohol-free life looks like. So Katie and Kaylee, welcome to the podcast.
Hey.
Hi.
So just so we're not like trying to figure out who's going to go next, Kaylee, why don't you start with kind of sharing your backstory into what led you into your journey through living an alcohol-free life?
Yeah, absolutely. First off, just thank you for having us here. This is so fun and just so cool to get to be on someone else's podcast.
Yeah, I love it. I know. I think people don't always realize how different it is when you are the one interviewing versus when you are the guest, but It really does feel very, very different.
Yes. No, for sure. Cool. Yeah. So my alcohol-free journey, I'm just a little bit over 2 years alcohol-free right now. I identify as California sober. So it's always about finding that word, like what feels best and makes the most sense. So I don't feel like I'm deceiving people, but also being very clear that I haven't had a drop of alcohol in over 2 years, which is pretty cool. I wanted to quit for a really long time before I actually made the leap to get this far. So I had a lot of conversations early on with my therapist, and I'm the type of drinker that just, I call it like a once you pop, you can't stop. Drinker. So if alcohol is in the vicinity and available, I will drink it until it's gone, or I like crash and fall asleep, or, you know, throw up and get sick. So that was kind of my behaviors that I would have. And then over time, I started to realize that like not all of the people around me were binge drinking as well. And so it felt difficult being the odd person out when my friends were having like two beers and then just hanging out for the rest of the night. And I finished a bottle of wine. And so, that's kind of like where I'm at, I think, on the alcohol use spectrum. Is I wasn't drinking every day, but every time I chose to drink, I was trying to chase that like perfect drunk fun feeling that never really ended up happening. And I would instead just like get super sick or fall asleep and crash while everyone was still partying. And I always felt like I either like missed that time or it just never really happened for me in terms of, what we see of like parties and all of that stuff on either social media or the movies and like TV that I grew up with. So kind of just felt like something was wrong there and it just wasn't feeling good for me. So I talked a lot with my therapist about it and then tried doing 30 days and then had another stint where I did like 90 days and then kind of had, you know, found a bunch of excuses to get back on the wagon and then off the wagon. We still don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah. We don't know. Anyway, that's kind of like long story short, my deal with it. So, in October of 2020, in the middle of COVID, I just had this kind of epiphany where I really wanted to focus on my mental and physical health. And I was like, those are the most important things. And, I just know that alcohol is not helping me with any of my goals. Like I have anxiety and depression. I was diagnosed with depression when I was 13, persistent depressive disorder. And so drinking a depressant all the time, I think that was what I put down in my like I am sober tracker of why I didn't want to drink, was like it's not helping me reach my fitness goals and it's not helping my depression. In fact, it's like making it way worse. So yeah. That was a long-winded answer. Apology.
No, I love it. And the when you said like trying to achieve the perfect drunk, I was like, that is such a good way of putting it, because I can relate to that 100% of just like trying to reach like that perfect feeling, but then like always taking it a step further. Like I never really actually achieved it. It was like, I thought I was going to be able to do it, but I could never stop right there. It was like, I'd be there. And then I was like, oop, now we've gone way too far. So when you said that, that was totally my story as well.
Yeah. It's like taking shots so you can catch up with everyone and then realizing that you sped way past them and now you're sick and have to go home.
Katie, what was your journey into living this lifestyle like?
First of all, I just want to say it's so cool to listen to Kaylee say that in real time with the roles reversed. So thank you, Kaylee. Love hearing your story. For me, alcohol use started when I was really young, and just like immediately the high risk behavior set in after I would drink alcohol from the time I was 13 until the time I quit when I was 30. I was the good time friend, the party friend, the one that always knew how to have a good time. Also the one known as like being able to puke and rally. And once the party started, I just truly never wanted it to stop. I had a hard time, A, knowing the limit, and then B, saying no to other substances once I started drinking. I really loved cocaine and ecstasy, and in my early 20s would not only use drugs, but then drive or text my ex or sleep with someone that I didn't know very well. Just put myself in these situations that were not safe for me. And I don't think people talk about that enough. And so I'm really like learning to love that version of myself now, even though it's really fucking hard to like look at her. So that was like my relationship with alcohol in my early 20s. And then as I got older and my husband and I settled down and we met, my drinking problem, my alcohol use disorder on the spectrum kind of like chilled out. And then 2020 happened and a big job change happened for me. And my husband and I got married and I just noticed that I was starting to drink every day. I was drinking on my way home from work and I was drinking alone and I was drinking after the gym and I felt sick. I also started experiencing anxiety for what I thought was the first time in my life, but rather it was just screaming at me louder than it had been previously. And my alcohol use was increasing my anxiety. And yeah, it just all around was not working for my lifestyle anymore. I wanted to be happy and I wasn't. And so January 1st, well, let's back up. There have been multiple attempts at quitting, or just rather, I would say, like, I'm not going to drink this month. Like, you know, sober September, you know, what all of the slogans. And I would go 5 days and then reward myself with alcohol. And I did that probably 4 or 5 times. And then January 1st, 2021, I decided I wasn't going to drink anymore. I was going to do dry January. And then I just never went back. So I just had my 2-year soberversary on January 1st.
Congrats. That's amazing.
Yeah. It feels so fucking good. And then also to really acknowledge one of my best friends was also on that same path and was before me, but never really, like I had never listened to Kaylee saying she was going to quit drinking until I did. And then I was like, oh shit, like you quit drinking. Like we have this in common. Like we've got this. And that was really impactful and empowering for me, just seeing someone else do it. And it helped me believe in myself. And then, you know, everything else happened. I will say that my husband and I went to Mexico and I did some pretty risky things when I was drinking just about a month before I quit. And then the month before that was my 30th birthday, and it was the 2020 election day on my 30th birthday, and I blacked out, and I drank so much wine, and the next day I was just like, I just fucking don't, it just took me so many times of being like, I don't fucking want to do this anymore, to just stop doing it. Yeah, so that's it. Yeah, I would say I was the blackout drinker and high-risk drinker, for sure.
Well, first, congrats again on 2 years. That's amazing. And there's a few things that you both were talking about that I think are important to highlight. And one of them is, I think we have just as a society normalized the fact that we turn to alcohol for anxious feelings when we're feeling down. Like, it's meant to, like, we put this up on the pedestal of like, it's going to answer all of our problems. And I think it's a really important conversation to have because this isn't true. We know it's not true, but we see advertising after advertising of like, oh, stressful day, pour a glass of wine. And it's like, in that moment, maybe you feel some sort of relief, but once that wears off, you're exactly where you were before you had the glass of wine or before you had the beer, before you had the shot. And I'm curious for both of you, when you were in that contemplation phase, how did you start to realize, well, wait, this actually isn't giving me the thing that I'm seeking, even though maybe there were outside sources that were telling you it would be what you were looking for?
I think for me, it was a huge shock when I found out that drinking alcohol made my antidepressants not work. So that was like having facts, having like straight facts of like, I kind of treated it, especially for the first month. I've also done a lot of fad diets and a lot of like stupid shit before. So being like, okay, it's just for a month and then I can see how I feel, and really not treating it as something that was going to be finite, as something that was going to be final. And I did kind of keep it to myself and try and just like challenge myself to do it, but also told people that I knew would be helpful to hold me accountable. But having those like hard facts of like alcohol is a carcinogen and it's like linked to 8 different types of cancers. And I thought the thing on my my bottle of medication was just like, yeah, of course, like don't mix a bunch of prescription drugs and alcohol and drive. Like that makes sense. But I didn't realize that it actually like they kind of cancel each other out. And so I was like, well, I'm getting all these negative side effects from my medication, right? Like low libido, like I don't know, the list can go on, like being really tired all the time, all of this stuff, but not receiving any of the actual benefits because alcohol was canceling it out. So I kind of treated it like cutting out gluten or cutting out dairy for the month and just being like, I'm just going to do this and see how I feel. And then afterwards, I can go right back to it if I want. And then, yeah, you start to see the benefits pretty quickly and you're like, oh, shit, like, unfortunately, this makes me feel a lot better. So this is the direction I need to go in.
Did you start to realize like, oh, this isn't actually making me feel any better, you know? Because I think sometimes a lot of us get stuck in that contemplation phase of even being willing and open to exploring what life could look like without alcohol because we are afraid we're going to miss out on so much, or we're like, well, how the hell am I going to cope with my sad feelings, or how am I going to manage a stressful day? But then when we actually step into sobriety, alcohol-free living, whatever you want to call it, we realize like without alcohol, we're now having to establish true rituals. And it's helping us in the long run, but we get stuck in contemplating out of a little bit of fear. And so I'm curious for you, like, when did you start to feel that shift of like, wait, I thought that by removing alcohol, it'd be harder for me to navigate life, but instead I'm actually able to navigate it in this whole new way. And what did that feel like?
Oh my God, the crying. I think it's just like you, that the next morning when you think about the things, like I was so mean to myself, and when I was drinking, I would go into the bar bathroom and look at myself and just be like, oh my God, like we are not looking good, girl. I had this weird thing where I felt like my hands would look really old and I would get drunk and then obsess over my hands and like wrinkles on my hands. It was when you keep repeating that pattern, you can point that out and be like, oh, every time that I drink, I'm really mean to myself. I throw up, like I sleep in until noon on a Sunday and then go out and get breakfast and spend money I'm not supposed to have. Like I could kind of just like pinpoint everything was like this giant red sign that was like alcohol is the underlying, like the common denominator between all of these things that are going on. Like the shame, just the shame and like hating myself, I think was finally like, I couldn't do it anymore. So that was motivating, but sometimes I'm still surprised. Like, okay, that was really hard. And how did I do it? And I think Katie, what you said about community and stuff like that, like that really helped too. And then you start feeling really proud of yourself really quickly. So you want to ride that high. And I think that's what gets you through it. So yeah, hopefully that answered the question.
Katie, I'm curious for you what you started to notice when alcohol was removed and you were navigating your anxiety.
I was like, whoa, I'm not hungover or drinking, so I can actually figure out what's going on. It really allowed me to take a deeper look into the nervous system as a whole. And that has just been life-changing. But it was fucking hard. I was like, okay, I'm anxious. What do I do? I worked out so much when I quit drinking, like to the point where the replacement addiction definitely came in there and I was injured a couple times, but it was so worth it. Like, I'm so grateful for that outlet. And now I've been able to balance that out a little bit more. I ate so much sugar, and I'm not going to lie, I smoked a lot of weed when I quit drinking. Like, I don't anymore. Like, I'm still always on the fence about marijuana and, you know, like I take a gummy here and there, but it triggers my anxiety these days. So anyways, going back to the question, I talked with my doctor and I said, hey, I quit drinking alcohol and now I feel anxious all the time. And he was like, you're probably covering up this anxiety disorder with the alcohol. Like, you were self-medicating. So let's start over. I like encourage you to get a journal with prompts and really like start your day with a journaling practice. Try to drink 100 ounces of water a day and try to eat 3 meals a day. And see where we're at in a month. And that changed my life. I was like, oh, I am capable of handling my anxiety without substances. And like self-inquiry was the most helpful part of all of that. And I made an agreement with myself, and I believe with Kaylee, I said, hey, if this isn't better in 30 days, based, you know, with these new practices, I'm going to seek, you know, advice around medication for my anxiety. And I'm still like, I don't take anxiety medication now. I know what time of my cycle it flares up. And I know, you know, what things really activate anxiety in me. And I know how to handle them now because I removed alcohol from the equation. Before, it was just like, I was just covering it up, you know. My whole life, I've been told like, oh, you're a social butterfly. Oh, you're an extrovert. Oh, you're this. Oh, you're that. Like, always the life of the party. But when I removed alcohol, I realized, holy shit, I'm not that person. I actually was putting on a mask to be that person because it felt more comfortable than just being with myself and being uncomfortable. And I can't tell you how, like, the identity crisis that comes along with that in removing alcohol is heavy. But I feel so much more free and like comfortable in my own skin now that I don't put on that mask, that I'm not constantly lubricating the situation with booze or, you know, just by adopting another personality to make other people in the room feel more comfortable. My social life went to like 7 days a week to like maybe seeing a friend once every other week. And at first it was a little lonely, but after a while it became so life-giving for me. And now I also can recognize when I'm doing too much and I'm able to like kind of come back in before like expanding again and like filling up my schedule. So yeah, I don't know if I answered the question. I just went on a tangent there.
Well, you did answer the question, but there's like a few things that I think are important to note. Like for me, I was like, oh my God, if I get sober, like I'm going to miss out on so many things. But what I loved what you were saying was like this identity shift was when alcohol was removed, you realized like who you actually were, what actually brings you joy, how you actually want to be spending your time. And I think sometimes there's this disconnect of like, oh, that person is sober. They don't go to social events anymore. Boring. When actually like you've just discovered who you are again and what you actually like to be doing with your time.
Yes, that. And a lot of us are going to events and doing social things, even though we do not want to. And that is why we're drinking alcohol before them, right? It's like, it's how we turn off the thing in our body that says, please don't do that. Please stay home tonight. We need to rest. alcohol removes that. And it's like, fuck yeah, let's party. Let's do this. Like, we don't need to rest. We don't need, you know, to eat dinner before we have shots, et cetera, et cetera. So I 100% agree with you. And I now, in my alcohol-free journey, am so much more fucking fun to be around. And it is just given my relationships so much more. I mean, my relationships have like deepened and just become so much more intimate and so much more fun. And there are so many more yeses in my life, and I'm ignoring my no's little to none now. So that feels really good.
Well, it just shows us how to have, personally, at least for me, like better boundaries. I'm okay saying no, going to a New Year's Eve party because I want to stay in and watch another episode of White Lotus, or
yes,
want to do vision planning for 2023. Yeah. Like, I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. And I just think talking about that is so important, because mm-hmm. people have this idea of looking at somebody that's sober and see, oh, well, they decided to stay in on New Year's, like, boring. And it's like, no, that's what I wanted to be doing. It was my choice because I didn't want to go somewhere that I didn't want to be. And those things need to be talked about.
Yes. Yes. And also, I went on a hike at sunrise on New Year's Day. I didn't, but I'm just giving this as an example. You wouldn't be doing that. You'd be missing out on that with the hangover from the night before if you said yes to the party, and you don't have a healthy relationship with alcohol, right? Like, it actually eliminates the yeses. It takes mm-hmm. away the opportunity to do the things that are fulfilling. So yes, so much.
So much less drama on New Year's year. I just have so many shitty New Year's Eves.
Well, you're able to wake up and not have to text someone and say, hey, did I do anything last night that I need to apologize for? Did I say anything? You just get to wake up and you remember absolutely everything that you did. And Katie, to your point of what you're talking about, my friend Kelsey was talking about like how many hours you get back because you're not hungover, how much more opportunity and how much more life you have to live because you're not spending it laying in your bed, hiding from the light of the sun because it gives you a freaking migraine because you're so hungover. Like, you actually get to go out and live. I think she was talking about like, you have 52 more days because every Sunday you're waking up hangover free.
Yes, totally. I was going to say too, if you add up all of the time we spend on stopping at the store or being concerned that there won't be enough alcohol for the night or for the event, you also gain time from that. And just that mental weight that you're always carrying, being concerned of whether or not there's going to be alcohol. Do I need to bring my own alcohol? What kind of alcohol is acceptable? It really does consume a lot of our, the mental weight that we carry around when it becomes problematic in our lives as well. So there's that time too.
Going back to Katie, how you were talking about, like, you saw Kaylee living this alcohol-free life, and that kind of gave you the permission to explore it yourself. What was that connection like for the two of you, as like Kaylee, you're living this lifestyle already, and Katie, you see her doing it. How did the two of you kind of come together in supporting one another in that journey?
Yeah, I know for me in the beginning, it was like a little bit tiptoey of like, how's that going for you? Because I think neither of us wanted to judge each other if we didn't make it, you know, and like, that's okay. And so it was always like, how are things doing? And we were kind of hitting stages in a similar spot, but different. And we just, one of the things I really, really appreciate about Katie and some of the other girls that are in our lives is we just call each other. And it's like, if you don't answer, you don't answer. But if you do, you may get to have like an hour and a half catch up session. And so we were just calling each other all the time, like on Sundays, and just talking about it. And sharing like how good we felt. And we were both in the pink cloud at around the same time. And we were both like angry and annoyed and pissed off, but knew that we were doing what was good for us at the same time. And so I think just being able to hear like, you are not alone and you aren't crazy. But Katie really started inspiring me because she was not too far behind me in being alcohol free, but was making all of these leaps in terms of personal development, like getting really involved with like a meditation practice. And she taught me about human design and about all of these things. And so it was just cool to have real life examples of someone you like care about and admire being like, oh, I challenged this thing today, or I'm trying to think about this differently, and just talking out loud about it. It's like, you don't have to have all the answers and create like a guidebook for someone, but even just sharing like your experiences of like, today sucked and I'm eating a king size like thing of peanut butter cups right now. And I'm like tuning out and I'm watching trash TV, and like, just hearing that that's okay. I think at least for me, that was like, what was really helpful. So.
Yeah. Kaylee, I so appreciate you. And I want to say that this happened organically. Like, we didn't plan this. This was a decision that Kaylee made for her lifestyle. And I'm not going to lie, like, when I decided to quit drinking, I wasn't even thinking about Kaylee. Honestly, I don't think that I ever even acknowledged that she was on this path until I was. And I know Kaylee had her reasons for staying private about that. And once I kind of like got the feel that she was like in this and she was like, I'm quitting booze, I was like, oh, fuck, me too. You know, and then it just like transpired from there. And we would have these hour long conversations. And about 4 months in to 2021, I think Kaylee is the one who said, like, dudes, people need to hear this. And I was like, we should start a podcast. And she was like, okay. We knew nothing, right? Like, we just started Googling everything. And like, oh my gosh, both of our partners are kind of in, like, they both game and like, you know, build their own computers and stuff. So they helped us a little bit. But honestly, Kaylee taught herself how to edit. It's just amazing what we've manifested together and individually. And Kaylee, you know, acknowledges me for a lot of this personal development quest, I'll call it, that I've been on with human design and meditation and fitness and health and et cetera. But a lot of that is just like filling up my schedule so that I can fucking stay alcohol free, because it is hard for me in the in-betweens where I'm down in my downtime and I don't have a lot going on. And Kaylee, so on that token, like, you've given me permission to rest and to say no and to like really take time by myself and not try to put a band-aid of seeking outside validation or excitement from achieving a new thing and just really going inward and playing the fucking video game and eating the chocolate bar and just being like, this is who I am today and this is how I'm showing up. So I think that, Alex, I don't know if you know anything about the human design, but I'm a reflector and Kaylee is a projector.
I am too.
You're a reflector?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Shut the fuck up. I cannot wait to talk to you.
I never met another reflector.
Me neither. Yay. Okay. So anyways.
I'm a 3-5 reflector.
Oh my gosh. I'm a 4-6 reflector. And Kaylee, you're a 3-5 projector, aren't you?
I think so.
Yeah.
Or 3-1. Something.
Let me look. Anyways, we can get into that later. So Kaylee and I actually, like, as you know, like, our energy flow really works well together because we both can give each other permission to rest. Like, having all these open centers, like, really allows us to give each other permission. We need another generator, like, in the mix though, to like help us power through. And we really fucking don't want to do this stuff. But so yeah, it's just been so great for our friendship. I feel like we have, yeah, become so close. And we've been friends for, I don't actually know if many people know this, but I think we've been friends for 14 years. And we have the same group of friends. There's like 6 of us. And it's amazing to see that 3 of the 6 of us are totally alcohol free. And then the other 3 are just conscious drinkers. Like, their relationship with alcohol is something that they're tending to all the time and evaluating and really trying to keep it healthy. We just hosted our Christmas party with the 6 of us. It was the 13th year that we've done it. And I had a bottle of champagne at my house because someone gifted it to my husband on his garbage route. Like, giving your garbage man alcohol just seems fucking whack. But I offered it to my friends when they were here and they were all like, no, it's okay. And I'm like, we just had a sober fucking Christmas party. Like, what?
Those sober parties are the best.
Yes. Yeah.
We all washed our face.
Literally. So it's so interesting. I love that you are able to have like this cohesive friend group. So is it from like high school, college?
It's weird because it was like none of us went to the same school, but we all kind of knew the same people in Eugene. And I met our friend Ashley because our boyfriends at the time were living together, like in the same apartment. And I think a lot of the guys are in the music scene, and we were just kind of all hanging out.
Yeah, so we were all like, Kaylee, I was the last one to become friends with everyone just because I had moved here later, but it was since we were 18 and 19. So.
Okay, I love that. So for me, I have like cohorts of friend groups. Mm-hmm. I have my college friends, my college girlfriends that are part of my like best friend from high school also went to college with me. So she's like in that too. And none of them are sober. That isn't really even something that's, I think, has even really, like, I just leave that be. That's just a friend group that I'm like close with them. But we, as I've gotten further into my sobriety, have craved more sober connections. And so 2 years ago, I started a virtual group that meets on Tuesdays. And that was all women that I knew that were in the Twin Cities that were sober. And now they're like my best friends. I'm still friends with my college friends, but they're my best friends. We call ourselves the raw dogs because we're just raw dogging life.
I love that.
And we did like, so when you were talking about your Christmas, we did a cabin weekend so like 6 months after we started, obviously totally sober. And then we did like a winter weekend, totally sober. Mm-hmm. And then we did another cabin weekend this summer. And last Friday night, we were supposed to do our Christmas party, but my house came down with the flu. So we had to push it out. Ooh. But like sober parties, one of the girls said this, and it was so true. It's like a junior high slumber party before yes. anybody starts drinking. You just stay up, you talk, you laugh your asses off, you have a really fucking good time. You leave like feeling so connected with people. You have really, I mean, now we're having obviously very deep conversations compared to like in junior high where you're probably playing like MASH on your notebook.
Yes.
You like leave feeling like energized versus feeling depleted, fatigued. And like, it's just this really special and unique connection. And I love my college girlfriends. It's just evolved into being a different sort of relationship. And that's something that I'm like continuing to like move through as my sobriety evolves, but getting to have a group of friends that's walking live alongside me in my sobriety has been such a game changer. And I will die on the hill of like community is essential and key to your sobriety. It might end up that your community is some of your best friends. It might not be, but like finding a community that you jive with and feel supported in and heard by is going to like make or break your experience in living a sober, alcohol-free, whatever lifestyle you choose, because they get it. They get where you're coming from. They get where you're feeling challenged. And for both of you, like to be able to have that, like you kind of touched on this a little bit, but how do you feel that's helped you continue on this journey?
Yeah. I mean, the accountability of having a podcast, it's definitely like Katie and I both kind of talked about it, like how scary it was to first start posting on our social media and dedicating some time, like time and space to that, just because it's like putting yourself out there in the world. But I know that like more, even if there's like one person who might roll their eyes and be annoyed at all the sober stuff I post on social media, there's five people that are in my DMs that are being like, I don't know, just like people that we met through doing a Dry January group last year. And we've been doing another one this year and seeing some familiar faces. But yeah, I feel like those are genuine friends, even though I've never fucking met them in my life. We only talk on Instagram. But they're solid and I feel really good about those friendships. So it's just, yeah, I feel like you get to the deep stuff a lot quicker with sobriety and people are so willing to have your back and cheer you on. Like the community just in the like AF and sober community is awesome. And there's so many people our age, which is like, I don't know. I'm just really excited about where things are headed. So
yeah, I was going to say, first of all, having Kaylee in the podcast has been like accountability times a zillion thousand, not just with like living an alcohol-free life, but also, you know, staying committed to having a well-balanced life so that I can show up in the way that I need to be of service to the community. Like, I think that that is probably, for me, now being 2 years alcohol-free, the larger part of my sobriety journey is staying all in alignment so that I can even offer anything to people. And like you were saying, Kaylee, the people that I meet in my DMs are fucking winners. They're just amazing. They're always supporting, like always reaching out. And sometimes as a reflector, Alex, I don't know if you feel this, it can be really exhausting for me to maintain a lot of friendships in real life. And so sometimes it feels good to have this community on Instagram, or it's just helped me so much. I learn from other people all of the time this way. And like showing up on social media in a way that feels good for me also allows me to make sure that the relationships I'm making in that space are in alignment with the ones that I want to maintain and what ones that I want to have in my life. And so, yeah. And then sometimes too, when I go off social media, because that's also really necessary in this process, for me, it has been anyways, I don't always have the best. Sometimes it's difficult for me to manage the amount of time I'm spending on my phone. I work on my phone. We have the podcast. I, you know, was a host at Thousand Hours Dry for a year. I was a forum moderator for a Reframe app. So I do a lot on my phone. And during those cleanses, it's important for me to also have that community in my real life. So calling Kaylee, being able to talk to my husband, who's also alcohol-free, which just happened naturally for him years and years ago, far before I ever did it. And making sure I'm putting in quality time in relationships that are off the internet is also equally as important. Yeah. Yes.
I love it. But community is key. And what is so powerful is being able to connect with people all over the country, the world, that are navigating this journey, and to just like feel instant connection with them, even though you don't know them, is such a powerful thing. And then also being able to have, obviously, in-person relationships that support you and get you. And for me, what has been an interesting thing is I didn't really have like anybody else that was like I had one close friend that was sober before this like group started, the Raw Dogs. But then I had my college friends that like always encouraged me. But I have a group of friends. So I have like three cohorts of friends. I have a group of friends from where I work at my gym. We all work together at the gym and none of them work there anymore. And that was like the first time that I had a group of people like, I have been always supported in my journey, but like they like really came through for me when we were doing a gathering. And it was the first time someone had ever said to me, do you care if we drink? Like, would you like us to all get together and not drink? And I literally cried because I was like, I don't think you realize I think I was 5 years sober at that time. I've never had someone ask me that. So thank you for doing that. And the reason I like to share that is because if you are listening and you're not alcohol free, like you don't have to go sober to support your sober friends, but just like doing little gestures like that of like, I'm thinking of you, I see you, goes a really long way in your relationships and can mean so much more than like you even realize. When you both were talking, you know, like about this journey, and it kind of came up a little bit, but like, Kaylee, you had been saying of where we're going and like seeing people your age, what excites you about sobriety and like sober living and where we're going and, you know, the next like year, few years? I think like we are on this huge trajectory, and like, what excites you about it? What do you see as like the possibilities for like alcohol-free living and what it could be like for people?
Yeah. I'm just so pumped that it is becoming more of a norm and that the conversation is changing, and just understanding more about like, it is not a choice to be addicted to a substance that is marketed towards us like 24/7 all the time everywhere, and that there are people, like so many people in the middle, who may have regrets or feelings about alcohol where they're like, this isn't really serving me, but they feel like they can finally speak up now because other people are doing that. And there's been so many non-alcoholic options that have opened up. I've been seeing non-alcoholic like mocktail pop-ups. And I think just in general, like especially for women, not being under the influence of something that makes us sick. I know that like I can't be the only person that struggles with really low self-esteem and low self-confidence. And I think that's something that, you know, is prevalent as like a millennial and someone who like grew up on kind of social media and the Tumblr era and all of that stuff. And I just, not drinking has given me the most confidence I could ever have. And even my like worst days, like today I'm on my period, Mercury's in retrograde, like our technology wasn't working. It's just not as bad at all as what some of my other bad days were. So to have more people like present and showing up and figuring out like what their purpose is and what they're meant to do, that can only just bring like more good into the world. And so, yeah, that might come across as kind of cheesy, but I'm just excited that like the awareness is there, the interest is there. People are questioning those societal norms that aren't working for them anymore and stepping out of that box. And there's just more information on it, more podcasts, more books, more like representation of alcohol-free options when you're going out to eat. All of that stuff is just so exciting to me. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
I love it. Katie, what do you think about it? What excites you about the future of sobriety and alcohol-free living?
So much of what Kaylee said. And so my dad has been like a lifelong addict, alcohol and drugs. And he's 55. He's been sober now for 10 years, which is fucking rad. However, when I decided to stop drinking, he was like, "You're not a real alcoholic though. You're just doing this to lose some weight or something," you know, like totally like shitbird thing to say and do. However, my response to him was, "Dad, the more people our age start to evaluate their relationship with alcohol, the fewer rock bottoms we have just as a culture, like in general. If I can have these conversations and prevent one more person from losing their wife, their children, their job, their house, like their whole fucking life to a substance that's been crammed down their throat since they could walk."
Yes.
Yeah. That is the point. And I'm not here to say that all alcohol, like that no one can drink. I'm just here to say that like research in alcohol and the effects that it has on our society, and I would say civilization, like having the funding for that is, how do I want to say this? The government should be doing more about this epidemic than what they're fucking doing. And we're all villainizing pills and, you know, other drugs, et cetera, but we're normalizing drinking responsibly. And it's just not a thing. It's not real. And it's just glamorizing this already huge problem. And I'm sorry, but alcohol is the fucking gateway drug besides trauma, right? Alcohol is the gateway drug. And we're not having that discussion. And we are now though, right? So I guess that's where I'm going with this. So I'm fucking so excited for Gen Z and millennials and younger. My sister is 16. She fucking sent me a sober curious TikTok account when I first quit drinking. It was in her algorithm and she was 15 at the time. And she was like, "I love this girl. You should follow her." And I'm like, what the fuck? My 15-year-old sister is receiving sober curious content in her algorithm. How fucking amazing is that? Mm-hmm. And it's all triggered by these conversations.
There's so many things that I want to touch on. One, rock bottoms. I'm a big person of like, it's a pivot point. People can choose to pivot before they hit the rock bottom. Like, we have to get away from this mindset of like for me, when I got sober, I had this idea of like, well, is this a rock bottom? I have no DUIs. I've never been arrested for drinking. Like, all these other shitty things have happened to me, but like someone might not categorize that as a rock bottom. And therefore that isn't a reason to stop drinking. And when we have these markers, it almost makes people continue to drink because we're like, I'm not a rock bottom. I'm not an alcoholic. And when we can start to have these conversations, like, it doesn't have to be rock bottom. It just has to be enough. You've had to have had enough to want something more for yourself, to want something different. And having these conversations is the way to show people, like, you choose when you want to make a pivot, when alcohol is so out of alignment for the values that you have in your life, that you want something more for yourself. And what you were talking about of, like, this, the government and alcohol, I think it's really important to know, like, literally on the bottles, it says drink responsibly. What the fuck does that mean? Like, what is responsible? You know,
those labels have not been updated since 1986. Like, I have, if on this fucking chair I'm sitting on, it says like possible cancer causing, like, okay, how is this plastic chair I'm sitting on saying that, but it doesn't say that on a fucking bottle full of ethanol? I do not understand. I will never understand. I do understand. It's like a money-making scheme, right? So.
It says that on my knockoff Peloton too. It says that it could cause cancer.
Well, it's, I, okay, please tell me you both have read Quit Like a Woman.
Oh, yes. Oh, Bible. Yeah.
Okay. Like, Bible. I talk about this. Sorry to call my listeners. I will die on the hill of Holly Whitaker talking about we are in a cigarette era. That is literally the best thing I've ever heard because it's so fucking true. Like,
yes.
We look at our parents, they were smoking cigs at like 12. Everybody was doing it. We grew up where everybody was drinking in junior high. Nobody was smoking cigs. You were the gross one if you're smoking cig. Everybody was drinking alcohol. It was normalized. And now we are getting the same education about alcohol the same way our parents started to get the education around cigarettes. And it's like starting to have this trickle down effect because everybody was drinking at our age, but Gen Z starting to come up in this, like, I guess I'm not a Gen Zer, so I don't know, but like they are drinking less. There are stats out there to prove it, where that was not the norm for us. And I just think it's so cool to see this shift of like alcohol is having a cigarette moment. We're starting to get the education, and hopefully like how now they have those really awful looking labels on cigarettes of like no throat and a voice box. There will be education around what you're consuming and putting in your body. And Kayla Lyons, I think you both know her. She talks about like consuming with consent. And it's just about like giving people the information. It's not like everybody needs to stop drinking. It's like, educate yourself though on what you're putting into your body. What are you actually inhaling and ingesting, not inhaling, but ingesting into your body and knowing what it is versus like you said, like giving alcohol, this drug, a pass, and looking at every other drug like it's so much worse, when really we see it, but we're not seeing it for what it actually is.
Yeah, I was going to add too that we love Chelsea at Mixed Without, and she's an advocate for mocktails, and she genuinely believes that NA beverages and options deserve to be on the shelf with alcohol, like next to it. There shouldn't be one offering at a restaurant, right? Like we should have them. They can live side by side in this world where people can decide, oh, I'm just not drinking tonight, but I'm still going to have a fucking martini. Like I love that option. Had I had those, my relationship with alcohol could have been different. I truly believe that.
Well, and it's just normalizing options other than water, because when I first got sober, there was not a mocktail on a menu. Couldn't never find it. Now it's like the opposite. If I go somewhere and they don't have it, I'm going to say something.
Yes.
Hey, have you thought about getting no proof mocktails? And I'm not saying a water or a pop, like something fancy and fun, because I want to get a cute ass drink and a cute cup too, without alcohol. Like, let me have fun without feeling like this outcast.
Mm.
And I love that it's starting to like feel this shift of like, away, like gone are the times of places not having those options, and more are, and you are the one standing on the outside if you don't have mocktails and NA options available. We just got our first NA bottle shop in Minnesota, and it's like blowing up. People are going fucking nuts because they have like all these different NA wines and liquors and beer and just like all these different things, and people love it. It's called Marigold. They have everything you can imagine, and it's opening people's eyes to like, Oh, NA stuff can taste good. It's not old duels. Like NA stuff can taste good. I've been having this journey for me with NA where I didn't try any, like, I mean, really honestly, until like the last few years, there wasn't anything other than old duels for me to even try. And I had no interest in that. I also just like in my own sobriety journey wasn't sure like would this be triggering for me? Like what would that be like? And in the last like I've always made like mocktails with kombucha and things, but in the last few years I've started like dabble and wanting to try things. And I've been out of the game for a while. So I was like, ooh, like I'm gonna try these like fun NA like beer that I'm trying to think of like an example, like a raspberry something. And I like try IPA and I like try it and I was like, nope. Don't like it. So then I like order another beer and I'm like, nope, don't like it. And then I said to my husband, I was like, I think I don't like beer. And he's like, well, did you like beer when you drank? And I was like, no. He's like, well, then why would you all of a sudden like it now? And it's not gonna give you a buzz or a feeling either. Like, and I was like, you're right. I don't know. I like thought like maybe I'm older and I have like a more mature palate and like I'm gonna like these things. And so that was like a fun little journey for me of like, okay, I still don't like the things that I liked, even with the liquor in them, but there are so many options available to people. I tried this like Prima Pave. I don't know if you guys have had it or not, but it's a really good NA rosé. And actually, Chelsea, you were talking about, I don't know her, but we connect like via TikTok. Like we just like each other's videos and like repost. And she recommended another like different a different one for me to try as well. But
She really loves Naughty, which I haven't
okay, I
had.
think that was what it
It's
was.
really good. And then we love Drink Joyous. It's a female-owned company out of Washington State, just like right above us here in Oregon. And their sparkling rosé, I had to look at the bottle a few times. It's alcohol removed, so it actually tastes like rosé. Not for everyone, but definitely for me. I love it, you know? So there are just amazing options. And I don't know how much of a tangent we should go on with this, or if you watched the CNN alcohol-free New Year, but they fucking dropped the ball. And I think that someone needs to do an entire episode dedicated to that. I know Chelsea has a series going right now on TikTok about that because they essentially made fun of the Sober Curious community on New Year's Eve. And is it Chris Rock? Which I don't even know any of these people. Essentially, it was like, oh, why would you ever have a New Year's Eve without alcohol? You guys can't drink tonight. That fucking sucks. CNN, what are you doing to these guys? This must be torture. Like on live television, is saying this in front of millions of people. What a missed opportunity to educate and talk about dr drunk driving or, you know, just anything. And Chelsea at Mixed Without is like, hire me, CNN. I would fucking have that sober curious New Year's Eve party popping off. Like, what are you doing? What a missed opportunity on their
Or just
part.
having somebody there that is in the sober,
Yes.
curious community,
Yes.
because him saying that just is literally embedding into everybody's minds what people are already thinking. But to have someone else that's actually like sober, curious by choice, not because their job is making them do it, and to be able to, like you say, educate and tell people, like, this is not true. Like, here are one, the statistics. Two, here's what my life looks like now. Here's how things have shifted. Just to give people a different perspective versus the same information that they're already consuming on social media, on TV, in movies, and on ads.
Yeah, and in their family dynamics as well. You know, it's like so close to home for people. We all grew up watching people drink in our households.
Yeah.
First off, I've like loved all of these conversation and like the way that we've gone, it's been amazing. For both of you, what do you feel has been the biggest shift that has happened in your life since going down the alcohol-free path?
Katie's giving me the eyebrows. Do you want me? That's such a good question. It's such a big question. It's hard because it feels like everything and nothing all at the same time. Like sometimes it doesn't feel like that big of a deal. I don't really keep my tracker. Like I don't look at it every day. And I'm someone who always finds something new to beat myself up about, but like I'm working on it. And I think the level of optimism that I have, like I really I also personally have like a fear of like aging and stuff like that, just again, because of like society and all of those expectations and narratives. But I feel like the best is yet to come. Like, I feel like every year, especially since being alcohol free, has gotten better and better. And I just get to know myself more and know more about what I like and have the confidence to chase after opportunities and to advocate for myself at work. And yeah, I just feel like so much more capable than I've ever felt. Yeah, again, like I have more time and more energy and more motivation and more confidence to be able to accomplish what I want to accomplish. So I really feel like the world's my oyster in terms of like what my life could look like. And I've never felt that way before. So yeah, there's ups and downs, but it really is way less of a fucking emotional roller coaster. And it's more of like, I don't know. I can't think of a gentle water analogy, but it's good. It's better and it just keeps getting better. And so it's like, cool. Like, what do I want to do next now?
I love that.
What about you, Katie? Yeah.
Okay. So I feel like this question, it changes. The answer changes all the time for me. And right now, the biggest benefit or what's changed most in my life is my capacity to hold space for myself and other people, just because I know and I trust myself so much more now than I did before. I think the self-trust and the relationship with myself, believing in myself, and then knowing that I can show up authentically in my relationships and that's enough. That's what's true for me right now. Like Kaylee was saying, shit is just not as hard as it used to be. I have a bad day and the next day I wake up and I'm like, all right, let's fucking go. Let's do this again. And it gets better. Like today I locked myself out of my office first thing this morning and couldn't get in. And I locked my puppy, who is only 3 months old, on the other side of the door in the office. I was just crying because I'm like, what is he getting into? What is he destroying? Is he okay? Is he safe? I'm going to be in so much trouble. And then as soon as I got let back into my office, I spilled 24 ounces of burning hot coffee all over my Lululemon leggings that are like seafoam green and all over my desk and all over my notebook and shit. And like the old me, I shouldn't say that. The version of me that was drinking alcohol every day would have been hungover and like not resourced enough to handle that situation. And I fucking laughed at myself today. I gave my puppy some treats and I put him in his crate. I cleaned up the mess. I took pictures and I sent it to everyone that I knew. And I was just gentle with myself. And it felt good not just immediately being like, you fucking idiot, you know, because that's the world that I grew up in. That's how I've talked to myself my entire life. So I know that today I wouldn't have left work with a smile on and gone to the gym and been able to show up here if I was drinking alcohol. So yeah. Mm.
I love both of those answers. And I think it's so powerful to be able to take time and give ourselves the space to reflect on the journey, because it does evolve as we continue down the path, just as life, we're always in this evolution and changing. So it's really beautiful to get to hear what you both have felt thus far and how it continues to change for both of you. My last question that I want each of you to answer, and I say it every time, but it really is my favorite question to ask. What is the ripple that you want to create?
So good. I can go.
Okay, go. I can't go, so go.
I would love to, I think this goes back to like what I'm excited about for the future. I really want anyone who is questioning their relationship with alcohol, instead of taking that as a negative towards themselves or something that they just, you know, are too weak to be able to quit, or it's their fault for not being able to drink responsibly, really reaches out to a community that can support them. And so creating those spaces, and I hope continuing to talk about our experiences, can help inspire, even if it's just one person, to try not drinking like for one day, would just be so cool. Because again, it's not like there's so many people in my life that drink, and it's hard to come across as like anti, but I'm just having that information again, like I had no idea that alcohol was directly linked to 8 different types of cancers. So giving people the information and then being like, yeah, like make your own decisions, but there are a ton of other people that are here who have your back. And that's the neon sign I want to be pointing people towards if they want it. So yeah, that's mine.
What ripple do I, okay. So I want, through like healing out loud and having these conversations, I want to be a permission slip for other people to question what is no longer serving them. For me, it was alcohol and then a million fucking other things after I removed that. But yeah, just saying like, hey, we hear you, we see you, and we get to laugh and fuck up and make mistakes while we're doing it. And that is like part of the beauty of it all. And yeah, I don't know. Just being a permission slip in this life is probably the most important thing to me and the ripple that I want to. How did you ask that question? What ripple do we want to make?
What is the ripple you want to create?
Ah, yes. That's the ripple that I want to create, is being a permission slip for other people.
I love it. You guys, thank you seriously so much. This conversation was amazing and inspiring, and it got me like pumped up and revved up. And I wish it wasn't almost 10 PM here, because I need to like drop back in and like prepare myself to like calm down. But I love having these conversations because they're so important. And I think what is so cool is like every person that I get to have conversations about sobriety and alcohol-free living is, yes, we're walking the same path, but it's so unique to who we are. And it's so powerful every single time. So I appreciate both of you and your willingness to come on the podcast and to share your experiences and your stories. And lastly, where can my listeners find you?
Katie's got this one.
Kind of. I feel like you're so much better. So you can follow us and hang out and talk to us and chat with us on Instagram at dryhardpod. You can also follow us on TikTok. I'm still trying to figure that one out. I'm like maybe a little bit too older millennial to really get that one down. So if anyone has tips, let me know. Our podcast streams wherever you listen to your podcast, specifically Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We love a fucking good review, and we love you just sharing these episodes and the message that we are putting out there to anyone that you think might appreciate it. So hop into our DMs. You can also find us individually, I should say that, at Katie Pelroy, KATYPLROY. And then
mine is at Kaylee Wolf, but without the O. So KAYLEEWLF.
Awesome. Amazing. Thank you both for coming on the podcast today. And to everybody listening, make sure if you are not already subscribed that you subscribe so you never miss an episode when it drops. Leave a rating and review, because that's how this community continues to grow. And until next time, let's go out and start creating ripples.